strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you. But there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, a woman with murder in her heart, as in my story tonight. A story I call The Voice of Death. My story, The Voice of Death, begins in the snow-covered wilderness of Canada. In a high, narrow canyon, a man and a woman on skis sit resting on the trunk of a fallen tree, catching their breath.
Blanche, I can't tell you how sorry I am that Uncle John didn't leave you anything in his will.
Oh, there's nothing to be sorry about, Gerald. After all, I was only our Uncle John's second cousin.
I wish that Jane and Dan had taken it as well. They certainly were downcast after reading the will this morning.
Well, naturally. They were your uncle's niece and nephew, too, and they had hoped to share the estate with you. You can't blame them for being disappointed.
No, I suppose not.
We'd better be starting back to the lodge. I can see you're a bit uneasy about being in this canyon.
Well, isn't it a bit dangerous being here? Look at how the snow is piled up above us on each side of this canyon. If there was a snowslide, we'd be buried alive.
It isn't that dangerous. Of course, a loud noise or someone shouting might start a slide. Come along.
There's some sort of scientific explanation for that, isn't there?
Huh?
I mean vibration sent out by a voice?
Yes, that's right. I've often stood outside the mouth of a canyon and started snowslides with nearby shouting.
Snowslide must be quite a sight. Hundreds of tons of snow roaring and crashing down.
Well, you can breathe easily now. We're out of danger. Oh dear.
Lose something?
Oh yes, my camera. I think I left it back on the trunk of the tree we were sitting on. Oh, Gerald, would you mind getting it for me?
No, of course not, Blanche. You say it's on the trunk of the tree?
Yes, yes, that's right. Do you see it, Gerald?
No, Blanche, I don't.
Perhaps it fell in the snow. Look around.
I am looking, but I don't see anything. Blanche, the snow!
Gerald, run this way! Too bad, Gerald. But that's what happens to people when they stand between me and $1 million.
Oh, Blanche, it's so terrible. Gerald buried under all that snow. Perhaps we should have stayed in the canyon until they found the body.
Nonsense, Jane. There's nothing we could have done there.
Dan and I will share Uncle John's estate now, but I'd gladly give up my share if it would bring Gerald back alive.
I know you would, dear. We crossed the river here, Jane.
But the ice looks so thin. Blanche, we didn't cross here on the way to the canyon, did we?
No, dear. This is a shortcut.
Oh, Blanche, it looks too dangerous.
It'll support us. I'll tell you what. I'll go first.
Oh, Blanche, I wish you wouldn't. That ice is gonna break any minute.
Nonsense. See? I'm already halfway across.
But I can see cracks in the ice under your feet.
So can I, but the ice is still strong enough to support me. See? I made it. Now, Jane, it's your turn.
Blanche, I'm frightened.
Darling, there's nothing to be frightened of. Come along.
Well, all right.
Look, you better take your skis off. I think you'll find it easier to walk across than to ski over the ice. You're not as good of a skier as I am, you know.
Very well, Blanche, if you say so.
Hurry, dear. It'll soon be dark.
I've got them off now. Here I come.
That's it. I told you the ice would hold you.
Blanche, the ice feels as though it will give way under me at any second.
I felt the same way when I crossed. But, as you can see, I managed.
Blanche, oh, the ice is breaking! Help! Blanche, I can't swim! Blanche, don't let me die!
Poor Jane. She should have known better than to take her skis off before crossing the ice. Well, now that leaves only Dan.
Will Blanche succeed in getting rid of Dan? Will she get Uncle John's estate? Will Dr. Weird be back to tell us the rest of this chilling tale? He might not. He's kind of odd and a little remiss.
Yes, yes. I'll be back. But with all of these questions, aren't you going to ask about Adam Hatz?
No, I'm not. You see, Doctor, there are no questions about Adam Hatz, because Adam is unquestionably the finest hat value in America today. Seriously, every Adam, regardless of price, offers outstanding quality in workmanship, choice of material, and attention to detail. The style features of Adam are just as remarkable. tailored in black by experts in an amazing variety of distinctive shapes and shades. Adam hats offer the latest word in smart fashion. No man can afford to neglect the appearance of his headgear. Every man can afford an Adams. Now let's see what chills the rest of your story will afford, Dr. Weird.
And now to continue my story. The Voice of Death. It is the day following the tragic deaths of Gerald and Jane. In the living room of the luxurious lodge of the late John Drake, there are Blanche, Dan, and Sidney Rand, attorney for the estate. There is a strange look in Mr. Rand's eyes as he speaks to Blanche.
All I can say is it's very odd, Blanche. First you go skiing with Gerald and he dies under a snowslide, and then a few hours later, while alone with you, Jane drowns crossing a river.
I don't like your attitude. You act as though I caused their deaths.
Blanche is right, Mr. Rand. You haven't any right to say that. The village coroner said the deaths were accidental.
I know what the village coroner said. It doesn't mean I have to agree.
Now look, it's 5 o'clock. If you don't start for the village station right now, you'll miss your train.
Then won't you change your mind and come with me?
No, I told you. I'm staying up here for the week. I need the rest.
I just hope you don't find permanent rest up here.
What do you mean by that?
Just this. If anything were to happen to you, Blanche would be heir to everything. Think it over.
Oh, Dan, you don't believe I had anything to do with their deaths, do you?
Of course not, Blanche. It's absurd to think you were involved in any way.
Is Dan foolish for trusting Blanche? Tune in next time to A Voice of Death.